The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Coming up on today's program, if you happen to catch yesterday's show, we left off, well, we were just getting into the point about how that if you are serious about exposing lawlessness, you're going to make yourself a really big target. And we've certainly gone through some of that history ourselves. We in the Philadelphia Church of God, particularly in that period from 1997 to 2003, when we were in court, when we were fighting for Mystery of the Ages, when we were fighting those representatives of the Worldwide Church of God for the rights to print and distribute Mystery of the Ages, we really were going up against a lot of lawlessness. And the way that those individuals came after us, came after God's church, well, we're seeing that same spirit, that same animosity, when it's aimed at those in government, in the Trump administration, or those assisting him who are working to expose lawlessness. So we'll finish off with the point that we really couldn't get to at length on yesterday's show. We might, if we have time, we might also get into a little bit more listener feedback as well. But I just want to start the opening segment here by referring back to Amos 7, verses 12 and 13, where it refers to the Jeroboam administration and the king's chapel, as it says there in verse 13. My father's talked about this this passage before in his article. I guess it's now in his booklet. Who is the modern day Jeroboam? That's in the Great Again booklet. But he says here that the modern-day Jeroboam is causing other religions. He's causing, remember it says the king's chapel there in Amos 7. And my father says he's causing other religions to look to him, to look to him and not the true God. He says it's going the same way, rather, that it did anciently, only in this end time, there's a much greater abundance of truth. So it's the same as in ancient Israel. This Jeroboam who came on the scene when there was all of this affliction in Israel, all of these problems, all of these evils, and God had mercy on Israel when they really didn't deserve mercy. And he sent this Jeroboam leader, and they had one more age of prosperity before Assyrian conquest. They still went into captivity. It was just put off for a little while. It was delayed. And that's what we have to keep in mind during this temporary resurgence. Satan, remember, Revelation 12, he's been cast down. That same prophecy in Amos 7 talks about God passing by just this one last time. It says, I'll pass by them no more. I'm not going to pass by them anymore. Amos 7 also brings out how that God is measuring us or measuring our destruction. So we have to keep in mind, as we say over and again, that the resurgence that we're now seeing, it's very much temporary. But coming back to that passage, Amos 7 verse 13, where it refers to the king's chapel, we've referred before to this this unusual alliance between the Trump administration and the evangelical world. And that continues to make headlines. There was a Washington Examiner piece and also an interview, which we'll play clips from here in just a moment. But the Examiner talked about Franklin Graham, who was on a religious show last week. I think it was last Thursday, a week ago. And he talked about this demonic power that's resisting against the Trump administration. I think he went back and forth with the host of this show. I don't know the name of the host, but basically the two of them were saying, well, of course it's demonic. This is what the Trump administration is going up against. Here's a little excerpt from that interview last week with Franklin Graham, clip one.
For most Americans.
Well, I believe it's almost a demonic power that is trying.
I would disagree. It's not almost demonic.
No,
I mean, you know and I know that at the heart it's a spiritual battle.
It's a spiritual battle. And if you look at what the president has done, just for our country, regardless of whether you're a Republican or Democrat, the unemployment is at the lowest in 70 years. More African Americans are working, more Latinos are working, more Asians are working, more everybody is working. We have an economy that is just screaming forward. It's incredible.
Can you even imagine we're saying this? Because literally 3 years ago, our economy was dead in the water, dead in the water. We all know it. And 3 years later, you just said it's screaming forward. That's a fact. I mean, that's not our opinion, right?
And here's what that does for churches, for Christians. That means more people are working, so there's more people tithing and giving to the churches. There's more money for missions. There's more money for your building programs. All of this is because Donald Trump said he was going to turn things around and make America great again. He cut taxes. And that cutting taxes added fuel to this economic engine that we're enjoying right now. He's not a politician. I appreciate that about him. He's a businessman. And that's what we've needed in our government, not politicians. We need businessmen. And he's done that.
That's Franklin Graham. He's talking, by the way, with a host. His name is Eric Metaxas, I guess is his name. But quite a lot of truth in that exchange. In a lot of ways, they sound like they're representing the Trump administration. The economy's booming. They even go so far as to say how that this helps the churches. And we've even made that point before, how that with a surging economy, that's going to help God's work. And it is helping. There is, my father's mentioned before about the tide in the affairs of men. And how that if that tide surges, he paraphrases Shakespeare, of course, but if that tide surges, we want to get on board and ride with the tide. But here again, what they don't see, what they don't acknowledge, is the fact that this is all very much temporary and that there still is a lot of affliction in the nation of Israel. The modern-day Israelites of today, Ephraim and Manasseh, the United States, and Great Britain. So there you hear the clip from the evangelical community, and then here's someone from the Trump administration, Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas. He ran for president himself, and listen to him talking about this president being sent from God. This is one from the Trump administration, clip two.
God's used imperfect people all through history. King David wasn't perfect. Saul wasn't perfect. Solomon wasn't perfect. And I actually gave the president a little one-pager on those Old Testament kings about a month ago. Hmm. And I shared it with him. I said, Mr. President, I know there are people that say, you know, you said you were the chosen one. And I said, you were. I said, if you're a believing Christian, you understand God's plan for the people who rule and judge over us on this planet in our government.
So that's Rick Perry saying that this president is the chosen one. Now we've talked about God. I just mentioned the Jeroboam prophecy, and we've talked about God being behind the developments in 2016. But you have to be careful with that. Because you don't want people looking to a man instead of God. You don't want the nation looking to an individual. But that's exactly what the prophecy in Amos 7, and even going back to some of the history in 1 Kings, or 2 Kings, I guess it is, 2 Kings 14, is that all of the Israelites look to a man. But imagine one of his advisors giving him a one-pager about the Old Testament kings and talking about how that they weren't perfect. And this president isn't perfect, but he is, as you hear from his administration, people in his administration and people in the evangelical community. He is, the way they view it, he is the chosen one. Now let me switch over to Fox and Friends. This is Pete Hegseth, and he's commenting on those comments made by Rick Perry. This is clip three.
And I'll tell you, Ed, when, going across the country talking to supporters of this president, they feel precisely the same way Rick Perry does. Yeah. They hear the attacks from the media about who he is and his background, and they dismiss it and say, God has used imperfect people forever because we're all imperfect. But what he has withstood is unlike what really any other mortal could understand. So that-
Here again, that's some truth in all of these statements. And that's a Fox host saying that this is the sentiment of a lot of people across the nation of America, a lot of people in the United States today. But only God's church gets it right. Only God's church can give you the real meaning of these prophecies. The United States was being afflicted during the days of the previous administration. And God looked down upon our nation, just like he did anciently, and he had mercy. He had mercy on our nation, and he's saving us temporarily, not because we deserve it, not because we're repentant. He's saving us because of his mercy, and he's giving us one last chance, one last resurgence, one last period of prosperity. Our nations need to be warned like never before, even during this period of resurgence. We've told you before about what my father said back in, what was it? I think it was October of 2016, just a little less than a month before the election, back when Hillary Clinton was leading in the polls. And everyone thought she was going to win. And my father said, if I'm reading this right in Amos 7, it would suggest that Donald Trump is going to be the one to pull this out, this election. This is a quote from the coworker letter that he wrote just after the election of 2016. This is dated November 23rd, 2016. And my father says, this election was prophetic. When there's a type of Jeroboam on the scene, then God will send the sword upon his people because of all of its sins. It's because of America's sins that it must suffer. And this is brought out in the last few verses of Amos 7 as well. So that's what the prophecies say. Yes, there is a resurgence. Yes, you can see God's hand in what happened in 2016. But no, it's not because of. The resurgence is not because of our righteousness. It's not in any way because of our repentance. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send feedback to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
To America's founding fathers, character meant everything to the success of the nation and its leadership. The Constitution was based upon the fundamental principles of religion and morality. These were the primary building blocks of the American nation. George Washington said, "The foundations of our national policy will be laid in the pure and immutable principles of private morality." Character was no minor issue to America's first president. He regarded it as the basis of national policy. Where did the founding fathers develop these ideas? Many of these principles stemmed from the Holy Scriptures. The Bible provided early Americans with the instruction and guidance of how to properly govern one's life. These beliefs helped build a nation of strong families and upright leaders. Today, America has dismissed the Bible as the foundation of developing righteous character. Men now leave it to themselves to determine right from wrong. Where has the rejection of biblically based principles led this nation? There is a cause for these effects. To understand the course of events that have led this nation to its current state, visit thetrumpet.com and click on the literature tab to request our free booklet, Character in Crisis.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
We'll see what happens.
But Mr. President,
I'll tell you what, you have a lot of very, very bad people. And, you know, a lot of people say deep state. Right. I don't like to use the word deep state. I just say they're really bad, sick people.
I played that snippet the last couple of shows, the president preferring to, well, not use the term deep state. Instead, he says there's some bad and sick people that are resisting against this administration. And again, this is something my father has written about at length years before the 2016 election. If you go back to America Under Attack or Great Again during the election year. And then afterward, he commented on it again in that Saving America from the Radical Left. Again, it's temporary, but my father brings out the points that if Hillary Clinton had won, we'd see, the corruption would not have been exposed. We wouldn't have seen just what the radical left is willing to do to return to power, to seize power. He said that the left, the radical left, it has no respect for the rule of law. They think they're above the law. And that's why they're willing to break the law in order to take down political opponents. My father said, Satan is marshaling every tool and weapon he can to wreck this nation. And he's having alarming success. And then he went on to make the point that Republicans, they don't realize what they're dealing with, what they're going against. Yesterday, I referenced Isaiah 59, where it says that if you depart from evil, you make yourself a prey. You make yourself a target. If you uphold the law, in this case, the law of the land, you make yourself a sizable target. And look at how the radical left goes after anyone that would dare expose their nefarious acts. I went through that example yesterday with John Solomon, how that they really pounced on him going into the impeachment hearings, because of some of the witnesses who said that it was Solomon primarily who smeared the ambassador to Ukraine. And he's the reason, Solomon is, that President Trump fired Yovanovitch, the former ambassador to the Ukraine. That Kenneth Vogel piece I read through yesterday, the New York Times piece, where he said, yeah, Solomon's the guy. Solomon's the one that Donald Trump relies on for his Ukraine information. And here, Vogel himself wrote about all the corruption in Ukraine in 2017. Vogel himself said that Ukraine tampered with or meddled in the election of 2016 in the favor of Clinton. Vogel himself wrote it, 17 pages, this investigation. And now he's the one that's flip-flopped. He's the one that's pretending his 2017 piece doesn't exist. And he's the one that's smearing John Solomon and the president. And that's the way that it works. They go after anyone that would dare expose the truth. Anyone that would dare expose their lawlessness. Rudy Giuliani, he's a big target right about now. And of course, Devin Nunes. There was a CNN report last week that tried to take down Nunes, saying that he had these connections with a Ukrainian official, and I won't get into all the details, but I mentioned on yesterday's show how that Nunes immediately responded by saying he's going to sue. He's going to start a lawsuit against CNN and then also the Daily Beast for their reporting from last week. This is someone who who fights back, who's not afraid of the deep state, who's not afraid of the radical left. With respect to Donald Trump, as you've heard before, my father said that, you know, seeing him fight against this evil force, it's something to behold. There's not too many that will follow in those same steps. as I already read to you, most Republicans don't even realize what they're really going up against. I thought this was a fascinating article. This is where I left off yesterday. It's at American Greatness, and it's titled, A Farm Kid Thwarts the Coup. This is a story about Devin Nunes, and also it's somewhat of a book review of Lee Smith, who wrote The Plot Against the President. And I guess Lee Smith relied upon quite a lot of information from Devin Nunes in putting together this book. So Julie Kelly at American Greatness, she's going through in this piece and talking somewhat about the book by Lee Smith, and then also how Devin Nunes made himself, again, a target by going after the deep state. She writes, as chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Nunes released a memo in February 2018 describing how Barack Obama's Justice Department misled the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court to obtain permission to spy on Donald Trump's presidential campaign. That's from the memo of 2018. And then what did we hear just last week? How this FBI official went in and changed a document, changed the meaning of a document in order to get the FISA application approved? Well, this is something Devin Nunes was talking about a year and a half ago in his memo. And as Julie Kelly brings out, the Democrats did not want that memo out. My father wrote about that at the time as well in the Trumpet magazine, April 2018. The Nunes memo exposes the unseen threat to America. He wrote in that piece about how the radical left desperately wanted to keep that buried. They didn't want the truth to come out. And so it did. And then they went after Devin Nunes. A relentless attack. That article, my father's, he says, the Nunes memo is evidence of just how active the devil is, particularly in his efforts to destroy America. It shows just how active Satan is in this. It shows where Satan's fingerprints are. America under attack. There's one of the subheads from the article. America is under attack. And here's Devin Nunes, the farm kid from California, standing against these evil forces. Julie Kelly in the American Greatness piece. She says, in the days and weeks leading up to its distribution, Smith describes, that's the memo, Smith in his book describes how the crusade against Nunes took an even more dangerous turn. Now listen to this. Mr. Trump, remember, says that these are sick. These are some sick people. And from Lee Smith's book, he says, an orchestrated assault against Nunes's family, including his wife and three young daughters, posed such a threat that law enforcement agents were assigned to the grade school where Nunes's wife works. Hackers imitated Nunes's cell phone numbers. Calls were made to up to two dozen relatives, including his 98-year-old grandmother and mother-in-law, so they would answer. Here are these sick people calling a 98-year-old grandmother, harassing her because Nunes has the courage to stand up to these evil forces. These are, as the president said, these are sick people, vicious people in many cases. Now, as I say, when you look at some of the history that we live through, during our 6 years of litigation with the Worldwide Church of God, we faced up to these same intimidation tactics, all of these slanderous attacks, attacks against Herbert Armstrong's reputation, his legacy, his character. Of course, he was dead at the time, but they went back and tried to revise the history. And then sitting through some of the questions that we did in our depositions, I can remember several instances with my father, when he was being deposed, and just some of the crazy attacks coming from the Worldwide Church of God's attorneys. These attorneys who thought they were God, really, who thought they knew everything, and then the WCG officials, urging them on. It says here, the Nunes family is just one of many victims savaged by the Trump-hating mob, an effort funded by wealthy partisans and carried out by their accomplices hunkered down in the national news media, on Capitol Hill, and in federal government agencies attempting to take down Donald Trump. You see, this is the deep state. And if you go against them, they will work together to destroy you. These are sick people. That's what the president said. He prefers that instead of deep state. These sick, deranged people, bad people, who are looking to destroy their enemies. Julie, this author here, Julie Kelly's piece, she says Smith's book, she's referring to Lee Smith here, it's the most comprehensive account yet of how these nefarious interests began conspiring in late 2015 and remain at work today. The Dirty Tricks operation turned into an attempted coup after Trump's election, Smith writes. Since Trump was elected without the consensus of the ruling party representing the coastal elite, Barack Obama's intelligence chiefs believe that his election was illegitimate. I mean, this is all true. You see the way they're responding today. They were talking impeachment before he was even inaugurated, which in itself exposes what a sham the last couple of weeks have been. A total circus. Just the latest excuse for impeachment. This phone call, a phone call to the president of Ukraine, a phone call, as the president said, in which, what, two dozen people from the U.S. were listening in? He had nothing to hide. He released the transcript later, which undermined their whole argument, the Democrats. But he went against the bureaucratic state, and look at how they came after him. It was permissible, they believed, to remove him from office. He's illegitimate. So they can remove him from office by stretching the law or turning a blind eye to this evil activity. Any kind of lawlessness is fine as long as it removes him from office. It says here, Comey and Company's scheme included opening a counterintelligence probe into four Trump campaign aides, including the head of the organization, deploying spies into Team Trump, felonious leaks of classified government information to dishonest journalists, determined, it says, to destroy Trump associates. Politically motivated and poorly sourced documents presented as official government material with the imprimatur of the country's most revered agencies, all culminating with the appointment of a special counsel armed with unfettered resources to search every nook and cranny of Trump's orbit to find impeachable conduct. This is all recent history. You're familiar with it. It says further on, political operatives disguised as reporters working for Democratic propaganda machines, disguised as legitimate news outfits like the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, and others intentionally have misled the American people about imaginary crimes committed by Team Trump. Just a bunch of imaginary crimes. They couldn't get anything to stick from the Mueller report. And so the next day, the day after Bob Mueller testified, then the focus is on not Trump and Russia, but Trump and Ukraine. They turned on a dime. He talks about, or Julie talks about rather, the way journalists were in on this coup attempt, and how that they sourced their stories. She says journalists would then act as their own sources, citing each other's flawed and, in some cases, fabricated stories as original reporting. The Washington Post, between January 2017 and May 2017, the month Robert Mueller was named special counsel, relied heavily on illegally leaked information about intercepted phone calls between then National Security Advisor Mike Flynn and the existence of a FISA warrant on Trump campaign volunteer Carter Page. She says how that these people, these sick people, they ruined so many lives. people that came along that wanted to help the Trump administration? Donald Trump commented on this back in October, about a month ago, in an interview that he had with Sean Hannity of Fox News. Listen to what he says about how that they went after people in his administration to try to destroy them. This is clip five.
What they did is a disgrace. And I really mean it. This should never happen to another president, because what happened to people that worked for me, who are good people, what they had to do, they went bust trying to pay for their legal fees. They came to Washington to do a fantastic job. I always say they were bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. They came to Washington. They wanted to do a great job on health care, on this, on that, on all sorts of things. And they left, and they were dark people. They left dark.
These people that came in wanting to help him. They came in with bright eyes. They came in all happy and optimistic about the new direction for the country. And then they ended up using their life savings on legal fees. And quite a few of them just wanted to get out. They wanted to go back to their private lives. They wanted to be left alone. They wanted to get away from these sick people. Now, in this American greatness piece, this is what's astounding here, because they have gone after Devin Nunes nonstop. And it says here, Nunes, on the other hand, appears energized and on the verge of redemption. So Nunes, they could have chased him out of town had he been, a little bit weaker. But he seems energized. It says Attorney General William Barr promised to excavate the corrupt origins of the Russia collusion hoax, especially the activity of operatives like Comey between Election Day and inauguration. So she's saying that he stayed the course. He's continued with the fight. And now it looks like the tables are turning. She mentions Attorney General Barr and the Durham investigation and all the FISA abuse. Some of that's already coming out. It says here, that's why the establishment, the press, the permanent bureaucracy, the tech oligarchs, the urban aristocrats, the deep state, and all the rest of the ugly, beautiful people will never forgive Devin Nunes. She's quoting the Smith biography. Not the biography. The book that he wrote about the investigation, or rather the attack on Donald Trump. And he says, again, it belittled them that he didn't care. He wasn't their sort, but was proud to be a farm kid. Talking about the Devin Nunes, his background, and how that he went up against this establishment, and they hate him for it. It says here, it looks like the farm kid and all Americans who are not invested in this insidious, destructive plot will prevail. Now, again, God's hand is in this, and my father's talked about that being one of the components to this resurgence, this lawlessness being revealed. It's something to behold, to see what God is doing, but to see also what he's doing through people like Donald Trump, and not just him, but people like Devin Nunes. Last year, we went through an article by Victor Davis Hanson on the demonization of Nunes and how it's a window into our times. Hanson talked about how this really does reveal a lot about the state of America today. When you look at how they have gone after this farm boy from the farms of California. Well, as I say, you talk about America, or rather the trumpet, being ahead of the curve. My father wrote last April, the Nunes memo exposes the unseen threat to America. He wrote in that article about all that the previous administration had done to try to destroy the foundation on which America stands. My father says this happened under the previous presidential administration, and the Nunes memo shows that it's still happening under high-ranking FBI and Justice Department officials planted there by Barack Obama during his presidency. And they're still coming forward, the latest being the whistleblower, the 33-year-old whistleblower. that came forward to say, there was something about that phone call that was disturbing. And of course, before the transcript was released, Schiff and the whistleblower and everyone else in the deep state were saying, oh, yes, seven times there was bribery, quid pro quo. And then the transcript comes out and they have to reinvent. They have to reinvent an argument to try to take down the president. Well, my father says, look, I'm not looking through this all with through the lens of politics. He says, I look at what is happening from God's perspective. When you do that, you can discern when the devil is at work. Satan is cast down, and the Nunes memo is proof of that. See, he's exposed. And in a lot of ways, he's exposed not just the deep state, but Satan himself. And so that gives us, I think, some insight into why the attacks have been, the attacks against him and his family have been so venomous. Satan, remember, is cast down. He and his demons are confined to this earth. Those evil spirits are all over this planet. They're no longer free to roam the universe. They're here. They are here on this earth, and they're causing a lot of problems. But we have to, like my father said in that Nunes article, we have to remember why the devil and his demon army are so angry, so filled with wrath today. It's because they know their time is about up. That's Revelation 20, verses 1 and 2. They know their time is short. And so we've got to be well aware of the shortness of time as well. In the Habakkuk booklet, my father talks about chapter 2 of Mystery of the Ages, the chapter about the angels and evil spirits. And he says this book, speaking of Mystery of the Ages, exposes Satan as no book on earth. The devil hates and fears exposure most of all. The last thing that Satan wants is to be exposed. And this is the last thing that the radical left wants as well, which is why there are so many distractions that they put out there, even these investigations, in so many ways, and the impeachment trial or the impeachment hearings. It's all designed to cover up the truth, to cover up the lawlessness, to cover up the evil. Well, there's lots of lessons that we can take away from this, we in God's church, because if you look into your Bible, if you look into the New Testament, even what Jesus himself said, God's church is going to be facing a lot of persecution. Whenever, as I say, whenever you're exposing lawlessness and evil, you're going to become a pretty big target in Satan's eyes. In Matthew 26, verse 27, or 47 rather, listen to this. It says, and while he yet spoke, lo, Judas, this is the betrayal of Christ here, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Verse 48 says, now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus, and he said, hail, master, and he kissed him. This is Judas and his betrayal. He betrayed Jesus Christ with a kiss. He pretended to be a friend. In fact, he was betraying him. Verse 50, and Jesus said to him, friend, wherefore are you come? And then came they, and they laid hands on Jesus, and they took him. It was all a monstrous fraud, a massive betrayal. Down in verse 59, it says, now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. So they wanted to kill him. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is God's anointed. And mankind wanted to put him to death. How are they going to do it, though? He was perfect. He was perfect. They couldn't get anything on him. He never once sinned. So they sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. Verse 60 says, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At last, it says, at last came forward two false witnesses. So they looked and they looked and they tried all of these witnesses. Think about what was going on in the basement of the Capitol a couple months ago. All of these witnesses brought in, carefully screened, interviewed, so that they knew just what 8 or 10 or 12 witnesses to put forward when it went public. They had to gather all the false witnesses that they could find. It was hard for them to find them in the lead up to Jesus Christ trial, that kangaroo court. But they found a couple. John 15 and verse 18, it says here, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. This world hates the people of God. They don't know. They don't know the true God. All that they know is what the God of this world has taught them or has influenced their thinking to believe. Satan, as we know, is the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's deceived the whole world. And then when you think about what the Bible says about the human heart, it's deceitful above all things. Jeremiah 17:9. Romans 8:7, verses like that. Hostile to God and his law. And you think about Satan, and as I've read to you, he fears, he hates being exposed more than anything else. And so whenever he's exposed, he is going to lash out at the messenger. Devin Nunes said something to that effect recently. Look, I'm just the messenger, and now they're coming at me with all of these investigations into my behavior. I'm just delivering the message. He's just exposing the evil, he could say. John 16 and verse 1, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that they doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. See, they'll come up with anything in order to take down the people of God. Here's one proof of God's true church. The proof that those in the world are going to come after or persecute the true church. Yes, even in the world of traditional Christianity, there's going to be plenty of persecutors to come forward from that community. Remember, there's this alliance with the Jeroboam administration and the King's Chapel. But those advisors that surround the president, even his religious advisors, they're not telling the whole story about what's coming upon America and Britain. Herbert Armstrong wrote back in 1972, the church at that time was going through a period of turmoil, really all through that decade. And Mr. Armstrong said, this wouldn't be the very work of God unless it was being persecuted. It wouldn't be the work of God unless it was being persecuted. Our persecutors themselves prove this is the very work of God. We do not invite persecution. We try to avoid it. And this is true today. We didn't invite that attack in 1997. The Worldwide Church of God brought it upon us. But when they did, we stood against it. We stood firm against it, in fact. We try to avoid it, he says, but the living Christ and your Bible says we will get persecution and false accusation. In this world, we have to expect, at the best, careless journalism, and at the worst, irresponsible journalism. That's a pretty prescient comment. What can you expect when you look at journalism today? Are you going to get the truth? Yesterday, I mentioned that stat from Newsbusters just on the coverage, the amount of coverage with the recent impeachment hearings as compared to 1998 with Bill Clinton. Totally different. Back then, the networks, they weren't so interested in impeachment. Today, that's all they can think about. Even when the ratings were plummeting, It's all that they could think about. In Matthew 5, verse 10, notice this. It says, let us remember, well, this is quoting from Christ, who says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. See, it's actually a blessing. If you're persecuted, now you don't want to bring persecution on yourself, like Mr. Armstrong said. You want to try to avoid it. But if it's for righteousness' sake, that's a blessing, and that should be something that we rejoice in, as Jesus himself said, going back to this article from Mr. Armstrong, this is from 1972, it says, this very persecution inspires us to go forward with renewed enthusiasm, faith, and determination. See, when that persecution comes, it inspires us. I'll refer you back to that article by at American Greatness, where she talks about all of these lives that these sick people ruined. And then, in the same article, it says, Nunez, on the other hand, appears energized and on the verge of redemption. See, for us, we have to stay the course. When the persecution comes, we have to receive energy and inspiration from it, knowing that we're serving God, we're doing God's work, and we're on God's side. And he said in the Bible, he's never going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. So what a confidence booster that is. Just knowing that God is with us, knowing that we're here doing God's work, knowing that doors are swinging open for the work. And Satan is angry, and we're going to be facing up to a lot of his lies, a lot of his deceit. John 8 and verse 44 says he's the father of lies. He's the one inspiring lies. I've been talking to the students, and well, even on this program, in recent weeks about courage and standing up for the truth and being confident in Christ. And as I was saying to the students yesterday at their final forum before the break, I said, look, God brought you into God's college and to the academy to learn how to be confident in the Lord. You don't want to be self-confident. You don't want to be vain or arrogant. But you do want the confidence of Jesus Christ so that you can stand against the devil. Ephesians 6:11 says to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We've got to put on that armor every day so that we can stand against the devil, so that we can, as it says in James 4, resist against the devil. We've got to put up resistance. We've got to receive when the persecution comes, when the difficulty hits us, we've got to really react in a way that's quite different from what you would want to do humanly. Nunez, remember, appears energized by these baseless attacks. Put on the whole armor and stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12 in Ephesians 6, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the enemies that we're confronting in God's church. We're fighting against the devil and his demon army that's been cast down. They're confined now to this earth. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness, all of it. And we don't want to cower in fear when we go up against it. We want to stand against these evil forces. Stand firm. Stand against. Resist the devil. I mentioned James 4. The exact wording is, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What a wonderful assurance that is. If we put up resistance, if we stand and fight, if we're fighting for God, then the devil's going to flee from us. One other passage here along these lines, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Humble yourselves. This is certainly part of godly confidence. We're not talking about arrogance or self-confidence. We're talking about a humble yet confident Christian who stands against the devil and his demon army. It continues here in 1 Peter. This is verse 8 of chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We've got to stand against these evil forces. Be vigilant, be on guard, be courageous, be bold, be confident in Christ, and know that God will back us. Verse 9, it says, whom resist, here again, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It's not unusual for God's people to face persecution. It's not unusual for God's church to be attacked. It's not unusual for trials and tests to come upon us, even individually, if we're in God's family, if we're in God's work. In fact, as Mr. Armstrong said, it's a sign that we're on the right track. It's a sign that we're in the right church. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you could submit feedback to td@kpcg.fm. Hopefully you'll have if you're in North America, you'll have a nice Thanksgiving break tomorrow. Andrew Locher will be with you on tomorrow's show, so you can look forward to that. Another live broadcast, even on the American holiday. We thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you again tomorrow.